Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 4, the Hamsaguya prayers, and this is text 35 to 39. So we'll read the first one of text 35. Sri Sukha Uvacha. Iti stuta samastuvata satasmin agamarsane pradurasit kuru shrestha bhagavan bhaktavatsala sri sukha uvacha. Iti stuta samastutvata satasmin agamarsane pradurasit kuru shrestha bhagavan bhaktavatsala. So there's quite a few verses here in Sanskrit, and to expedite it, what I'll do is I'll just read the translation. So the word for word is like extremely long, so I'll just read the translation. Sukadeva Goswami said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who is extremely affectionate to his devotees, was very pleased by the prayers offered by Daksha. And thus he appeared at that holy place known as Agamarsana. O Maharaj Parikshit, best of the Kuru dynasty, the Lord's lotus feet rested on the shoulders of his carrier, Garuda, and he appeared with eight long, mighty, very beautiful arms. In his hands he held a disc, conch, sword, shield, arrow, bow, rope, and club. In each hand a different weapon, all brilliantly shining. His garments were yellow, and his bodily hue was bluish. His eyes and face were very cheerful, and from his neck to his feet hung a long garland of flowers. His chest was decorated with a Kastuba jewel and the mark of Srivatsa. On his head was a gorgeous round helmet, and his ears were decorated with earrings resembling sharks. All these ornaments were uncommonly beautiful. The Lord wore a golden belt on his waist, bracelets on his arms, rings on his fingers, and ankle bells on his feet. Thus decorated by the various ornaments, Lord Hari, who is attractive to all the living entities of the three worlds, is known as Purushottama, the best personality. He was accompanied by great devotees like Narad and Nanda, and all the principal demigods led by the heavenly king Indra, and the residents of the various upper planetary systems such as Siddhaloka, Gandharvaloka, Karanaloka, situated on both sides of the Lord and behind him as well, there were devotees who offered prayers to him continuously. So the next verse, so there's no purport, so I'll just read the next verse as well. Rupatan maha ashrayam vikrayas gata sadhusva. Nanamam dandavad bahu buho parashtatma atma parajapati. Seeing that wonderful and effulgent form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prajapati Daksha was first somewhat afraid, but then he was very pleased to see the Lord, and he fell on the ground like a stick, dandavats, to offer his respects to the Lord. Again, no purport, so text 41. Translation, as the rivers are filled with water flowing from a mountain, all of Daksha's senses were filled with pleasure because of his highly elevated happiness. Daksha could not say anything but simply remained flat on the ground. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When one actually realizes or sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead, He's filled with complete happiness. For example, when Dhruva Maharaj saw the Lord in his presence, he said, Swamin kritato smi varam nat yache. My dear Lord, I have nothing to ask from you. Now I am completely satisfied. Similarly, when Prajapati Daksha saw the Supreme Lord in his presence, he simply fell flat, unable to speak or ask him for anything. Omagana Timirandasya Gananjana Sarakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindabhayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasati Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is an incident in the Srimad Bhagavatam of overwhelming beauty of the Supreme Lord. The Lord is so beautiful that it completely enveloped this person and was just completely in awe and overcome by beauty. As it said here, thus decorated with various ornaments, Lord Hari, who is attractive to all living entities of the three worlds, is known as Purushottama, the best personality. Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is the best personality. Hare Krishna, come in. Prajapati Daksha, on seeing the Lord, as stated, was a little afraid at first, when he fell down like a stick, right? So sometimes, you know, when you're struck with something really, really beautiful, it sometimes can affect you to such an extent where you feel a little bit afraid of it. Like if you see a panoramic vista, sometimes, you know, like something so beautiful that it sometimes overpowers you. You actually feel a little bit afraid. As an artist sometimes, and maybe Zach, you can relate to this, sometimes when you see a work of art that you've been studying for a long time, and then you see it actually in the flesh, so to speak, it sometimes can be a little daunting, like, wow, should I be seeing this? It's so beautiful. I had that experience sometimes. As you know, I like painting, I like art, and we had an opportunity to see a work that I always really wanted to see was Jackson Pollock's Blue Poles. And when I saw it for the first time, it was just like, and you sort of hold your breath, you know? It's just, so that's that feeling on a very minor scale. But if you can up the grade a little bit to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you will be a little bit afraid, but then in the same token, it's a wonderful experience. You'll be overcome by the Lord's effulgence, just overcome by his beauty. So in the class yesterday, Prana Prabhu was mentioning how in the nectar of devotion, the service that we do, it states that some of us may have had some exposure to Krishna consciousness in a previous life. And so thereby, hence, attraction to the Lord becomes very easy, you know. And sometimes it's amazing how that happens to people. You know, you see people coming to Krishna consciousness for the first time and they're so blown out by the deities, you know, blown out by Krishna, and they all of a sudden become devotees. That happened also to me when I first personally came to Krishna consciousness. I was perplexed by understanding what God looked like, because in the tradition that I grew up in, it was never explained how God was beautiful. They couldn't explain to me, what does God look like, you know? And so I was always perplexed as to, well, what does God look like? And again, from my studies at college, I learnt of Michelangelo. Michelangelo was a great painter in the Renaissance era, and he was asked by the Pope, everybody know Michelangelo? You know the Sistine Chapel? And the Sistine Chapel is actually, there's an exhibition of the Sistine Chapel in Melbourne at the moment, isn't there? This 3D sort of... Anyway, in that chapel, the Pope asked Michelangelo to paint God. And that's that famous picture where you see the two hands like that, you know? So Michelangelo had no idea. He was thinking, he was very perplexed. Well, how the heck do I paint God? Well, he's the oldest of the oldest, so he must be an old man. So he paints this old man with a beard, a very beautiful old man, but an old man. There's nothing too attractive about an old man, although Mahatma is the exception, and so am I, actually. So, you know, it was really perplexing for me because I wanted to find out what God looked like, you know. So anyway, one day, by Krishna's mercy, I had an opportunity to come to the Hare Krishna temple. And this was the day of Julan Yatra. There's a picture of me, actually, and Sanghanath is there as well. I had a beard and long hair and everything. And I was here for the first time. And really, the first time I walked into this temple room, I thought I was moving into a kung fu set. I just thought, wow, this is so exotic. Anyway, I thought, this is really great. And then the first time I had an opportunity, it was Julanatra. So the little deities of Radha and Krishna were on, you know how, on this beautiful swing, decorated so beautifully. And they said, here, Bert, you have to swing the deities. And I thought, wow, this is pretty far out, you know. So I started swinging the deities, and little Radharani captivated me, her eyes. And I was mesmerized by her beauty, and the beauty of this deity. And I looked in her eyes, and I just couldn't stop looking in her eyes as I'm swinging backward and forward. And then I think one of the devotees said, Bhakta, I think you should give other people a bit of a go, you know, and move me from it. But the thing was, it was so captivating, the beauty. For the first time, I started to realize how beautiful God really is, you know. So I was captivated. And I guess in that moment, in that brief moment that I had that connection with Krishna and first appreciating the beauty of Krishna, it purified me. As Prana was mentioning yesterday, it developed that punya, you know, that auspiciousness, that piousness to be able to continue on. So when we appreciate Krishna's beauty, then we continue on in our Krishna consciousness. And that cleansing then takes place by first seeing the Lord. So in my service, as you know, I do a lot of service, interfaith service, working with other faith traditions and so on and so forth. In my service, there are these different places of worship. And when you enter a church, I don't know if any of you have ever entered a cathedral or a really beautiful place of worship. There's definitely pious activities there. Actually, Srila Prabhupada is just reading recently, when he was considering what Mayapur should look like, he took the devotees to Westminster Cathedral in England. And he was admiring how the architecture and everything was, and he was telling the devotees, this is how we want Mayapur. He was also extremely happy because at the Westminster Cathedral they have the graves of people like the kings and everything, but also Darwin's grave is there. And Prabhupada was very, very pleased to walk over Darwin's grave. He said, I'm very pleased to walk over Darwin's grave. Anyway, the whole thing was that he wanted something very, very beautiful, very grand. So when I go to these different places of worship, yeah, there's definitely piety there. There's definitely punya. You know, people are very respectful. But in the same token, it's limited, you know, it's not complete. So sometimes we may go to the various Hindu temples. Again, a lot of my friends, you know, invite me to the different Hindu temples, and again, they're very, very beautiful. When you go to the Durga temple in the western suburbs, again, very beautiful. They present all the deities very beautifully. But there's just something missing. You know, and that is the beauty of Krishna being the central feature of that temple. So even in our neophyte position, even in our neophyte level of Krishna consciousness, sometime we're fortunate to get a glimpse of Krishna's beauty. Like I was very fortunate to get that first little glance of Radharani, which stimulated my involvement in Krishna consciousness. So it's an overwhelming thing when you get the glance of and get an overwhelming understanding of the beauty of Krishna. So in particular, if one gets an opportunity to perform some deity worship. Now, all of you are aspiring devotees, and there's only so much deity worship that can be done, but if you can ever possibly do some deity worship for these absolutely stunning deities, in the world we have so many deities, but Radha Ballabha are just so special. Gauranitai is so special and Jagannath is so special. You know, and if you can ever, ever get the smallest amount of service to these deities, and in particular if you can somehow or other weasel your way in there to do some deity worship, then you'll actually experience some wonderful interactions between the deity and yourself. And it's not a mundane thing. When you're addressing the deities, actually it is such an extraordinary thing that happens. You know, you're addressing the deities, and then at certain times, it doesn't happen all the times, but at certain times you look up, and my service for a long time was serving Gauranitai. And every time I see Gauranitai, I remember that. When I was doing service and I was putting the dhoti on and the chadar on and the jewelry, and then just by chance you just happened to look up in Gauranitai's eyes, and this beauty, Gauranitai's there and gone. You know, just that brief thing is just so enticing, so beautiful, so attractive to keep you going, to keep you on the path of Krishna consciousness. Similarly, and this is why we encourage people to have home deities, Gauranitai deities or little deities at home, because the same thing can happen at home. You know, sometimes you're doing an offering and it's all rush, rush, rush. Oh, I've got to get the kids off to school or something, you know, and you get a plate of prasadam, a bhoga ready for the Lord, and you're offering to the Lord and you say the prayers, ding, 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 you know. And it's sort of mechanical. But then all of a sudden you look up and Krishna's looking at you. And you've never seen Krishna look quite like that. You think, wow, you are beautiful. You know, and sometimes it's even to the point where I've got to grab my camera. You just look so good, you know. So Krishna is absolutely wonderful like that. And this is the beauty of Krishna consciousness, that even in our homes, we can have that experience of appreciating Krishna's beauty. So in this verse, it was also mentioned that here the Lord Hari was accompanied by his great associates. Narad Muni was there, Ananda was there, and the King of Heaven, Indra, they were all there, and they accompanied the great devotees, accompanied by great devotees. So similarly, because of their closeness to the Lord, they also are beautiful, are absolutely stunning. Their effulgence is amazing. So recently, I've been, as I said the last time I give class, Bhakti and I are really into at the moment listening to the pastimes, the remembrances of the early devotees of Srila Prabhupada, you know. And one of the things which remarkably a lot of people always stress was when they first met Srila Prabhupada, how effulgent he was. How effulgent, how he glowed. You know, so this is one example that I wanted to write down, and this is a devotee. This is Chattamukya Swami, and so he says, and I quote, "First time we saw Srila Prabhupada, he was getting out of a car to go into his quarters. His effulgence seemed to fill the whole street." This is how powerful he was. Everybody couldn't help but have tears in their eyes. So this is, again, this fear and emotion. Prabhupada was not only effulgent, but also his love for Krishna was contagious. You could feel the love that he had for Krishna. And we all got a glimpse of his ecstasy just by being with him. So that beauty that he experiences, that connection that he experiences with Krishna is contagious. And it can rub off on us. There are many accounts when you hear of the pastimes of the devotees with Prabhupada, of things like that from his disciples. So the association of one who is 100% surrendered to that beautiful form of the Lord, one is able to get a glimpse of his and her ecstasy. So it's like when you're close to those people, and we have it here also when the great Vaishnavas come, there's something special about them. There's some aura about them. You know, when Devamrita Maharaj comes or Vedavyas Priya Maharaj, there's something. Because they're such dear devotees of the Lord, or Kadamba Kanana Maharaj, there's an electricity about them. So I've always been interested in this, and sometimes you may have heard about auras, you know, that people have auras. Well, scientists completely debunk that. They say that actually the ability to see auras actually doesn't exist. So when you refer to the Vedas actually say, yeah, however it does. And this is a quote from the Vedas. Aura is a person's spiritual signature. You know how sometimes you can meet somebody and you think, what's wrong with that person? You know, there's sort of this like darkness and you can't really see them, especially people that are intoxicated or smoke or, you know, a really heavy meat-eating person, you know, or a sinful person. There's something, there's no clarity. When I sit here in front of you all, every one of you is clear because you're a devotee. And you see also with the children, our Krishna conscious children, their clarity is amazing. Their auras are amazing, the clarity. So this is what they said. Aura is a person's spiritual signature. Advanced spiritual persons have an intense ambient aura. Its vibration spreads in the vicinity and enriches the environment around with spiritual power. This is the reason we feel immensely happy, soulless, and blessed in that environment. Every individual has an aura, but its intensity and radiation differs according to the spiritual elevation of a person. So that's that energy. So what you can imagine is the Lord's energy as Daksha is experiencing here. No wonder he's a little bit afraid. It's just like, whoa, just overwhelmingly beautiful. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's also mentioned there, and this is the pastimes of King Pataparudra. King Pataparudra states, upon seeing all these devotees, this was at time through the Chaitanya Charitamrita, upon seeing these devotees, I'm very much astonished, for I have never seen such an effulgence. Indeed, their effulgence is like the brilliance of a million suns, nor have I ever heard the Lord's holy name chanted so melodiously. So again, you know, this was the first time he had that glimpse of the devotees. And when I read that passage, it reminded me of a time that we did Harinam in the city. And we had this very big festival, and all the devotees from all over Australia came, and there were something like 300 devotees here in Melbourne Temple at the one time. So we decided to have a Harinam party, and everybody was exuberant and fired up, you know, because there were so many devotees, and we were going to go to Melbourne in the centre and have a 300-person Harinam kirtan. So it was decided that we split up into three different groups of 100, right? So generally we have a Harinam as maybe 20 people or something, 10, 15. This was 100 each, right? So you take that side of the city, you take that side of the city, and you take that side of the city. So there was this tumultuous chanting, Hare Krishna, you know, the wampas were going and everything. And people in the city were actually completely frightened. Little old ladies, I remember one old lady and her husband were walking down the street, you know, and all of a sudden this herd of 100 devotees, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then they turn around another corner, Hare Krishna. They were completely frightened, sort of a different fright, you know, but the point was that was such a beautiful thing. So here we see that King Pataparudra was also mesmerized by the effulgence of the devotees. Yes, Prabhu?
How many have left?
Huh?
How many have left?
Oh. 1980. So, yeah. So such symptoms of a pure devotee when they are chanting. This is the symptoms of a devotee. All pure devotees are as bright as sunshine, and their bodily lust is very effulgence. So you can see that when we meet our friends, our God brothers and sisters, you know, there's an effulgence about them. If a devotee sticks strictly to the principles governing Vaishnava behavior, his or her bodily luster will naturally be attractive. And sometimes you can even pick it when there's a little bit of difficulty in a devotee's life. Have you noticed that? When there's a little difficulty, what's up with you? You can't really pick it, but there's like a bit of dullness about them. Ah, okay. How's your sadhana going? Well, you know. Oh, I see. So, actually, it was interesting the other day. And, you know, actually, people notice it. When we used to do Sankirtan, and nobody knew that we were Hare Krishnas. We were doing different paraphernalia sales, right, to generate Lakshmi for the temple. And we used to dress up in Western clothes, and even though we were shaved heads, at that stage, everybody had a shaved head. And so we used to wear these wigs, right? So, oh, they were horrible. Anyway, but we had these horrible, cruddy-looking wigs on, and we would go out and do sales. But people would say, God, you're a bright personality, you know? So there was something about the devotees. They could always tell there was something different about the devotees, and that was that effulgence. So yesterday, just during the week also, we had a program here at the temple where 50 young schoolgirls came. And they were having a religious experience, experiencing different faith traditions. And they're accompanied by different teachers. And they were really impressed by the temple. But the teachers later on, Madhu Manjari was the lady that gave the talk to these girls. And later they came up to me and said, that lady had such a wonderful aura. And I thought, wow, just see, you know. People really appreciate that. So back to the purport, Srila Prabhupada's purport. When one actually realizes or sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are filled with complete happiness. Once we see Krishna, you're completely filled with happiness. Even if you get a little glimpse of Krishna, it just fills you with happiness. If you chant your rounds really diligently, Krishna comes in your mind sometime, you know. And it can happen very, very frequently, in my case anyway. And you can chant, and then all of a sudden, wow, was that Krishna? You know, and it's just like, and that's enough to keep you going. So, you know, it fills you with complete happiness. Krishna is so happy to do that also. It's mentioned further that in the purport that Dhruva Maharaj saw the Lord's presence and he said, Swamim kritado smi varam na yache. My dear Lord, I have nothing to ask from you. Now I'm completely satisfied. And that's it. Once you see Krishna, to hell with everything else. I don't need anything more but your beauty to be with me all the time. We don't need anything except for Krishna. Similarly, Prajapati Daksha saw the Supreme Lord in his presence and he fell flat, unable to speak or ask for anything. So this is, once we see Krishna, there's just no turning back. So in the Bhagavad Gita, it said, Man mana bhava mad bhakto majaji mam namaskuru mami vaishashi yuktvaidvam atmanam mat parajanaha. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, becoming my devotee, offering obeisances unto me and worship me, being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. So it is our duty for the aspiring devotee to be completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, to be completely absorbed in Krishna, just saturate oneself with Krishna. Now how do we become totally absorbed? This is the problem. How do we do that? And one should engage one's mind in the eternal form of the Lord, the primeval form of Krishna, with conviction in his heart that Krishna is the supreme and he should engage himself in worship. So this is the process of Krishna consciousness. We should just 100% throw ourselves into this process of Krishna consciousness, always hearing and chanting the holy name, reading about his pastimes, serving one another. And when one is fully engaged, then similar to Daksha, one should offer one's pranams to the deity of the Lord and engage his mind fully in every activity that we do in the service of the Lord. This makes one fully absorbed and one starts to fall in love with Krishna. And love is the thing that the Mayavadis just can't grasp. You know, in the previous verse it was discussed how the impersonalist has this concept of merging with the Supreme Lord. But what is the point of that? You know, how can you love an empty room? How can you love a void? You can't. But in Krishna consciousness, we have this most beautiful personality that we can fall in love with. Not material love, but spiritual love. And it's reciprocating, reciprocative. Krishna reciprocates that loving relationship with you. Each and every one of us personally, he reciprocates. So once you cultivate this Krishna consciousness continuously, and we have to learn from a bona fide spiritual master. Once we get a little bit of attraction, then we have to learn from the bona fide spiritual master and understand that we're not these material bodies, we're actually a spirit soul, and he is the Lord of all. This kind of talk about Krishna will help one become a better and better devotee, just constantly having that. Otherwise, the understanding of Krishna from a wrong source will prove fruitless. It's absolutely fruitless. So recently I had another opportunity to be part of an interfaith online seminar. It was really interesting. Through these interfaith programs, they have these different dialogues with different faith traditions. This is really a very important thing in our society, that the different faith traditions come together. And those activities are very pious, and they lead to communication with one another, appreciation of one another's faith tradition. It breaks down stereotypes, it breaks down negativity. That is in the Ukraine with Russia at the moment, and the devotees are rendering such amazing service for the refugees from Ukraine. Pretty well every night for the last 2 weeks we've been having communications meetings with the international communications team and trying to coordinate how we can best serve the devotees that are trapped in the Ukraine. And a lot of them are suffering like anything, unfortunately. It is -5 degrees, there's no heating. It is an absolutely shocking situation. But the devotees in both Hungary, Poland, Romania, Germany, all the European countries are all, UK even, are sending teams of devotees to help those people that manage to get out and feed them and look after them. So philanthropic work is also our, and not only the devotees, but they're feeding everybody, you know. Thousands and thousands of meals, hot meals, are going out to these people that haven't eaten for a couple of days. They've just been on the road walking to cross the border. So the devotees are doing this philanthropic work, which is amazing. And if anybody's interested, and this is just a little plug, but if anybody's interested in donating to this cause, to the European ISKCON communications team, the details are on the ISKCON newsletter site. So if you go to that, there's details there, and you can offer a contribution. America just gave $20,000 to help all the combined devotees, gave $20,000 to help that mission. So it's really, really a horrible situation that these devotees find themselves in. So, Or if you just type in Google ISKCON News, Hare Krishna News, it'll come up. So, And also we're trying to arrange something from here also. So you know, we're not averse to doing philanthropic work. We have our Food for Life programs here even. You know, when the pandemic was on, we distributed thousands and thousands of plate of prasadam to people in need. But the thing that these different faith traditions forgot was the one thing, and that's God. You know, how can we, what more can a religion do to serve the world? Well, we know from a God-conscious and a Krishna-conscious point of view, give people some idea of who God is. They have no idea who God is. And consequently, they don't understand that God is the proprietor of everything. That God created it, creates everything. You know, like even some of our Hindu friends, they say Vasudeva Kutumbakam. You know, that we're all one family. Whenever you go to one of these functions, oh yes, Vasudeva Kutumbakam. You know, we're all one family. But then who's the head of the family? Where's the father? Where's the father? Where's the mother? That's Krishna. That's God. So this was a really a funny thing. So, but not one faith, when we had this seminar, actually brought this point up. You know, none of them thought, well, if we could know God more, that would be the best thing for people of this world. That would make the world a better place, because we understand from Scripture, even you see God just a little bit, like Daksha was seeing God, whew, just so beautiful. So none of them thought this, understanding that he is the proprietor of all things. And unless one comes to this understanding, he can never be happy, and there can never be peace. So if you're looking for peace, if you're looking for tranquility, unless we actually develop this understanding that God is the proprietor of everything, and that we are simply his servants, there's no way that there will ever be peace on this world. And this is what Prabhupada also enunciated during the time of the Vietnam War. Hey, Prabhu, stop him from scratching against the paintwork. The devotees have spent a lot of time painting this beautiful temple room again. We don't need scratches on the wall. So, you know, Prabhupada developed this peace formula. And they distributed that at the United Nations. And again, it was stating quite clearly that God is the supreme controller and that we have to work under his direction. So when I pointed this out in my presentation, it basically fell on deaf ears. You know, no one commented on it, no one said anything, and they went straight back to, yeah, we have to do more in the refugee situation. There are all these refugees caught up in a hotel in Carlton. We have to do something for them, and we have to do over here. They missed the point. All we have to do is develop our love for God. So we're in such a fortunate position as Vaishnavas, as followers of this tradition of Vedic culture. By the grace of Srila Prabhupada, that we have this understanding that God is everything, and when we dedicate our lives to his service, that will actually bring us the greatest joy and also the greatest thing for humanity. And unless, at this time of humanity also, we take seriously to understanding this, the society is heading to a horrible conclusion, unfortunately. We know that Kali Yuga is coming, or Kali Yuga is here, but, you know, there are some incredible things that are currently happening that are disheartening. It is our duty as devotees in all our fields of life that we somehow or other give people a glimpse of the beauty of Krishna. However we can do that. If we can invite people to our home, you know, to just see your home deities, or invite people to the temple to see the beautiful display of Radha Ballabha Gaurinitai and Jagannath, you know, that's what we have to do as our representatives of Krishna. If we don't do it, we don't have to look too far in today's society to see the influence of the demoniac personalities that are currently having a lot of traction in the world today. You just have to do a little bit of research to find out how demoniac society is becoming. Just recently I had an opportunity to watch quite publicly this personality say that at one stage humanity thought that they were under the control of God, some divine being. But now we control humanity. They actually openly said that. We control humanity through various means, through surveillance and genetic modification. They are developing all these different techniques now whereby they have you. And they say you no longer need God. We are the controllers. So this is the demoniac society that our kids are going to grow up in. So we have to be really, really serious to counteract that. And we can if we become really intensely focused on our sadhana and our Krishna consciousness, following the 9 processes of devotional service, especially chanting and hearing. That will change everything. That can change everything. We have to have faith in Krishna that Krishna can defeat all demons. Have faith in that. But also, don't be naive to think that there is no demoniac forces in the world today. There are. A pure devotional service is the highest achievement of human society, and that's what we have to present to people. And the Krishna consciousness philosophy, every aspect of Krishna consciousness that Srila Prabhupada has given to us can save humanity. He so often said, I've come to save humanity. You know, I have come to give this Krishna consciousness to save humanity. And so this is our duty now as followers of Srila Prabhupada. And one man's teachings can change the world. Actually, in my previous years, I used to study different faith traditions. And in the Christian tradition, one person changed the whole of Christianity. His name is so-called Saint Augustine, and this one personality, prior to his being an influence on society, changed people's belief in understanding that there is no reincarnation, that animals don't have a soul, and that we can slaughter and kill animals because they are meant for our satisfaction. So there's a tenet of Christianity. Very powerful thing. So his teachings, this one man, this one teaching, was able to change the whole of the faith tradition. In the same token, this one man, Srila Prabhupada, can again change society to a Krishna conscious society. And he said that, my books will be the law books for the next 10,000 years. This is Prabhupada. And this is the case. But it's how, and they will be, whether we are part of it or we're not part of it. Just like he said, like Krishna said to Arjuna, you can fight, and that's great, you'll get all the accolades for fighting, or you cannot fight, but this is happening. So in the same way, this demoniac force that's present in the world today will continue on, but somehow or other Krishna consciousness will counteract it, because this is predicted. For the next 10,000 years, there will be a Satya Yuga, a bubble in the Kali Yuga. An age of enlightenment, an age of pure Krishna consciousness, where people will interrelate with one another, understanding the beauty of Krishna. So this is there. And similarly, Prabhupada stated that his books will change and be the law books for the next 10,000 years. But it's up to us. It was interesting this week, we were just having a discussion about being a Prabhupada disciple. You know, who is a Prabhupada disciple? And we have those fortunate souls that had that association with Prabhupada and took Diksha initiation from Srila Prabhupada. Very, very advanced devotees, very powerful personalities. But in fact, we are all Prabhupada's disciples. We all have taken Prabhupada's Shiksha initiation, in a sense, Shiksha instruction. And Prabhupada's Shiksha instruction is so important to all of us. So we're all sons and daughters of Prabhupada. And so we should be really ready to execute the emergency that is necessary. ISKCON has such an influence on society. Just amazing how powerful the Hare Krishna movement is. And it's becoming more and more and more powerful. You know that in Ukraine itself, you know, this country which is undergoing so much trauma at the moment, there are over 15... different temples and centers. There's 54 centers, but there's 15 different temples. So we think we're pretty good here in Australia having 5 or 6 temples. But over there, that they've got initiated devotees, I think something in the vicinity of about 3,000 or 4,000, isn't it? Yeah, initiated devotees. So this is just in the Ukraine. So in Eastern Europe, there's a real powerful drive for Krishna consciousness. So we should be really taking heed of that. The other thing I wanted to mention was just to show the potency of the Lord and the potency of the devotees. I want to relate one Sankirtan story, which is just amazing. I heard that this week. You know, you listen to the Sankirtan stories, they fill you with hope and they fill you with ecstasy, actually, to see how wonderful the devotees are. There was this party of book distributors in America, and really, team of young brahmacharis, you know, just as our brahmacharis, they're out there doing prasadam distribution at the moment, you know. A group of brahmacharis, and they were in a van, and they were asleep in the van. I don't know if somebody might have seen this on Dandavats. It was so far out. So anyway, they were asleep in the van, and all of a sudden, all these alarms, police had surrounded the van, you know, with spotlights and everything, and sirens wailing and everything, and come out of the van with your hands up, you're right? So what the hell is going on here? So the devotees, the brahmacharis, they pile out of the van in their gumshas, right? And the police still insisted on patting them down, searching, you know? You know how they do that? Arms up against the wall and they go like this. They only had their gumshas on, you know, but anyway. So so they said, what's going on, you know, what's going on? And then one of the head police said, who are you people, you know? They said, well, we're Hare Krishnas. What are you doing? What have you got in the van, you know? He said, well, we've got books in the van. So this one cop turned around and he said, oh, I know you guys, you're the Haris. I used to take prasadam at your center so long ago. You're really good guys, you know. I think I went through university because of you fellows, you know. You used to provide meals, and their books are fantastic, you know. So he said, all of you should actually buy a book, you know. So they got to sell books. They sold $800 worth of books to these cops, and they all went off. So this is the potency of Krishna consciousness, you know. This is the potency of distributing books, prasadam distribution. This is our duty. To counteract the negative influences, we have to give beauty of Krishna consciousness. The Lord is beautiful, but his books about him are also beautiful. The prasadam that's offered to him is beautiful. His associates and devotees are beautiful. We have to give that to other people. And when we give that to other people, this world will change around. And all these demoniac forces that think we have control of you now, to hell with them. And that's literally to hell with them, because we will actually overpower this nonsense just by our love for Krishna. We don't have to do anything else. We don't have to be political. We don't have to get involved in politics. We're just a friend to everyone, you know, and we just give Krishna consciousness to each and every person we come in contact with. So often people say, Bhakta, whose side are you on, the Liberals or the Labour Party? You know, because I have friends in the Labour Party and I have friends in the Liberal Party. Like, you know, Matthew Guy comes here, oh, Bhakta, how are you? Oh, Aniruddha, how are you? Then I see Daniel Andrews somewhere, oh, Bhakta, how are you? Oh, Sri Ram, how are you? You know. So we don't care for politics. We simply care for encouraging people and turning people on to Krishna, making them enlivened in spirituality, that this is the only way that this world will be saved. And I honestly sometimes feel that it's healthy to actually have a look and see what the demoniac forces are planning, and then see, okay, we can counteract that. And that gives you a seriousness about your own sadhana, because all of us can be a little lackadaisical at times in our spiritual life. Oh yeah, I'm chanting my rounds, I'm coming to the temple. But we should somehow or other make it a point, how can I influence my friends? You know, how can I give my friends an opportunity to experience the beauty of Krishna? You know? And that could be just you have a picture of Krishna on your desk at work, or you know, somehow or other give that beauty. Like at the moment I'm doing a painting. As you know, I'm doing the Bhagavad Gita paintings. And this one part is Krishna in the corner, and I'm painting Krishna. And it's such a joy, you know. It's like, wow, his lotus eyes. And you just want to have it just so perfect, you know. And Bhakti Devi also, you know, she does the deities. She paints some of the deities for the devotees, you know. And the detail that she goes into to actually have it just right. And then when they're just right, they, wow, they look so beautiful, isn't it? And then people who she's done the deities for, when they haven't seen their deities for a while and you see the fresh, painted, beautiful, oh, again that, you know. And sometimes it's so intense, and we're waiting for that day, that it'd be so intense, like Daksha, we see that beauty of Krishna and we just go, oh, and fall like a stick to the ground. So this is Krishna consciousness. We're all very, very fortunate. We're all incredibly fortunate. So I'll stop here. Is there any comments or questions at all, Prabhu? Yes, Prabhu. Oh, yeah.
Let's see and whatnot, and how much they appreciate Hare
Krishna. Oh, they were amazing. Yeah, that was interesting. Some of you probably knew this, but there was Ash, what was it? It was a Black Saturday. Yeah, so anyway, the fires, I'll just repeat it for those people that didn't know about this. The fires in the Winchelsea area, no, Winchelsea, what is it? King Lake area. In that area, there are a lot of hippie-type people that are vegetarians, right? So the army was called in to provide meals for those people in King Lake. But a lot of the people were saying, I can't eat what you're offering me because I'm a vegetarian. So then the commander of the army rang up the temple and said, hey, you guys are vegetarians, aren't you? He said, yeah. Would you be able to come down to King Lake where the forest fires are and provide prasadam, a meal for these people because we can't feed them and I don't know how to cook vegetarian. So I said, yeah, sure we can. So we got a van loaded, Gana Samudra cooked up a big meal and we had all different prasadam and we were in this tent alongside the army on one side and the devotees on the other side. So the non-veg went over there and the veg went over here, you know. And the major that was there, the army general or whatever he was, said, you have your uniforms and we have our uniforms. I said, that's right. So the people were so appreciative, you know, that they turned around and said, wow, the Hare Krishnas are here. And they got papadums and halva. You know? It was like they were completely blown out. So, yeah, people appreciate the Hare Krishnas. Don't ever be in a mind thinking that, oh, we're some group. We're a very powerful group. And we're powerful because we put God first. In the true sense, in God we trust. You know, we put God first. So in any aspect in our life, even you young kids, you know, somehow or other, you have to show beauty, the beauty of Krishna, to your classmates and to your friends that are not necessarily devotees. Somehow or other. Either give them a gulab jamun or something, you know, that they appreciate Krishna. Because there's beauty in the prasadam, beauty in the books, beauty in the pictures, beauty in the deity, beauty in every part of Krishna consciousness is beautiful. Any other comments or questions? Yes, Bucky. Oh, why have we got a long weekend this weekend? Huh? Huh? Labor Day. What do they do on Monday? Do you remember, Mahatma?
Yeah.
What do they do? It's the parade, the Moomba parade. I mentioned it last time. We used to be an entrant in the Moomba parade. And we used to build these incredible floats, beautiful floats of Mahavishnu and Bhagavad Gita and Krishna, Radha and Krishna. And there'd be this beautiful float floating down the middle of Swanson Street because I used to do it in the middle of Swanson Street. And people were so appreciative, so appreciative. It's a pity we're not doing that anymore because it was just such powerful preaching. It changed people's opinion. The first time we did it, people were like, it's the Hare Krishnas. The second year they went, wow, that's pretty good, you know. And the last one we did where we won prizes also, you know, they had their hands up and said, Hare Krishna! So people appreciate the devotees. We have to be mindful of that. Any other comments or questions at all? Yes, Mataji. Is that this week? Oh, what are you doing in Ballarat? Wow, far out, great. Yeah. If you can, absolutely. Very good. Oh, if you can have it. Ballarat's a wonderful town. It's actually a very pious town. You notice in the country towns, they're appreciative of Krishna consciousness. One year they weren't so appreciative. We have the Bendigo Festival as well, right? We're also doing Harinam there. The first time we did that one, there was a Christian group as well, and they actually had literally a lion in a cage, right? And some of the Christians were saying, we should feed you guys to the lion, you know? Because they thought we were, I don't know what they thought we were, but anyway. Yeah, but that's great. Matsya, that's fantastic. Harinam anywhere is fantastic. We should be doing more. Yes, Prabhu. Hari Bol. Can you repeat that? Say it again.
Yeah. Back to Krishna Loka.
Yeah.
So how we are going to react? Are we going to faint?
Probably. Probably. Yeah, probably. But then Krishna will pick us up. Oh, come on. Here we go. And I'll give you a big hug here. Oh, not again, you know. It was really interesting that you mentioned that. This was a discussion this week. We were talking about, you know, some devotees have been in Krishna consciousness for a long time. And you know how in a business setting sometimes after you've served for 50 years you get a gold watch? You know? Oh, let's get it. You get it. You've been working for this company so diligently, we'll give you a gold watch. So there has been some sort of thought that, and this is good, that we give some appreciation to those devotees that have been in the movement for a long time. Absolutely great. But like you, the real prize comes, the real gold watch comes, the real medallion comes at the end of your life. If you've diligently tried the best you can to bring Krishna consciousness to people, to give people an opportunity to love Krishna, to appreciate his beauty, right? At the end of your life, first of all, you'll meet Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada will say, wow, my dear girl, you've done such nice service for me. He'll shake your hand, give you a hug, give you a big smile. You fall down on the ground in ecstasy, right? Then you pick yourself up, and then Prabhupada says, oh, by the way, I'd like to introduce you to Krishna. Krishna, this is, you know. And then you see Krishna, you go, oh, my God. Vroom, vroom, fall again. And then you go with Krishna. Come on, let's go and play in the fields with Krishna. And then it's all over. You'll just be with Krishna eternally. Each and every one of us will be with Krishna eternally. That's what we're striving for, to be in that beautiful association forever. Never ever coming back to this material world of suffering. Is that okay? You'll be there and we'll see each other. Ah, I remember you asked that question. Remember, here's Krishna. Thank you very much. Yes, Mataji. Right. Well, fame is a different sort of thing, you know. There's material fame and there's spiritual fame, right? So Shane Warne and his life, actually, you know, he had a special gift. He's not just an everyday human being. he was endowed due to his karma with an exceptional gift. As there are many, many people in the world that have exceptional gifts. And so this person, due to his karma, was able to spin this little ball in a particular way that it got people out, right, in cricket. So he became famous for that. That was his karma. So in a sense, he already accumulated quite a lot of piety. And he was very rich because of that technique and that thing that he had. And you have other people in the world today. You know, you have movie stars that just somehow or other, they've got this attraction, you know, and they're very popular. And so, but the difference is that Prabhupada's popularity is from the spiritual basis. And that sometimes is hard for people to fathom unless they are also spiritually connected, do you know, so they can appreciate. But even a non-devotee, when they met Prabhupada, and there are many, many instances if you listen to the different descriptions that these early devotees give, many, many non that never became Krishna conscious were just in awe of how powerful this little man, because he was nothing, but he was only a very short person, very short personality, that what power he exuded. So there's a spiritual power and there's material power, you know. And so karmically, Shane Warne had great power. Other individuals also, but that's material. Prabhupada had spiritual power. You know, like in one instance, just recently I was listening to a remembrance by Achyutananda Prabhu, who used to be Achyutananda Swami. And he was saying that at one stage, Prabhupada, before he even moved to he was in America, he just arrived in America, and he met somebody, and this person who had some attraction for him, just a normal everyday person, was asking about Prabhupada's, what do you intend to do? And Prabhupada said, I have already many, many temples all around the world. There are hundreds of devotees. There are thousands of devotees. And there's even one very, very famous singer chanting Hare Krishna. This was before anybody knew who Prabhupada was. So Prabhupada is amazing. And so people appreciate that. But sometimes, you know, even if a person is very covered, they can't see that either, you know. Some people had the opportunity to see Prabhupada and they didn't, But if there's a little piety, and this is what we're talking about, and this is what Prana was talking about yesterday also, about piety from a previous life. If you have some pious, if you have some punya, then you can actually appreciate it. But for the masses, someone that is materially successful, to them that's attractive. But if you're a spiritual person, then you can appreciate that. Does that make sense to you? Auras are really quite interesting. I don't know if you've... there's even some different photography that they do nowadays that can actually... Kirlian, yeah. And so it's interesting. It's still material. You're still part of the material body. It's in line with the different chakras of your body and so on, and different colours and everything. But yeah, it is possible, you know, and you can see auras sometimes. Some individuals, some people can actually see it, and they can see, oh, wow, that's an advanced personality. Especially sometimes you can actually pick it up when, say for example, you have someone like a Devamrita Maharaj or any of the great Vaishnavas that we get to visit here, and you see them sitting and there's like a glow coming from them, especially when they're intensely describing something Krishna conscious. It's like, but if you're very material in your own sense, then you can't see it so much necessarily. Does that answer your question, Prabhu? Is that okay? Do you want to add anything, Bhakti? No? Okay. Yes, Prabhu.
Bhakti, thank you so much for your... you mentioned that as devotees, we should be non-sectarian and try to be Krishna consciousness to everyone without any discrimination.
Yeah.
So in that non-sectarian attitude, many times devotees have come across a certain section of people who even after receiving prasadam and all the loving care, have not shown any gratitude. Mm-hmm. In turn, they only attack devotees.
Yep.
Now, although it's a small section of that group, but the problematic part is that the majority of the group has remained silent. They haven't come out to really condemn the actions of the minority of the group.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having these things, having heard these things about devotees who are attacked, and not just devotees, many other people who were attacked, even after being in good touch with them for a long time, receiving them, how do we understand this? How can we still have that non-sectarian spirit and still live?
Humility. Practice humility and love. That's all we can do.
How can we understand that some people, even though they get more mercy, they cannot make advancement?
Or how do you?
After receiving prasadam or trying to cultivate them, still they influence, just attack devotees specifically with the human being.
The only.
And that has happened in the
Basically speaking, as a devotee, we have to be humble and we have to strive to love everyone. That doesn't mean that we necessarily have to go up to a person, but we have to remain humble in ourselves, irrespective of what a person is doing to us. You have great sages throughout the whole of history that people couldn't understand their spiritual message or, you know, what direction they were trying to go. You know, like Prabhupada gives the example of Lord Jesus Christ. He simply wanted to bring people to that point of understanding that God is beautiful and that our duty is to love and serve God, right? That was his mission for those people in that particular. And they didn't agree with it to the extent where they nailed him up on a cross, the most horrible death, you know? And what was the last words that he uttered? He said, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing." You know, so in our lifetime also, there may come a time that we're in a predicament like these devotees that are in Ukraine. Don't think that just because we're here in Melbourne that the demoniac forces won't influence us also at some time in our life. We have no control over that. So we have to stay humble and always give love to another person. Not necessarily physically, but in your heart. Even to your enemies, and this is all the great sages have said that, love your enemies. Prabhupada loved everybody. He didn't have a bad word for anybody. He may have chastised people, but it was a chastisement with love. We're sometimes not in that position to chastise. Like when I was doing that seminar, I just made my point and left it at that. I didn't push it any further, and I still love those people, and they still love me. So you just have to really be careful how you deal with people. It's with humility and with love. A Hare Krishna devotee is humble and it gives love to the other person. That's our goal. And that love is real love. It's spiritual love. It's love that's bound up with Radha and Krishna. And Krishna consciousness. Yes, Bhakti?
I seem to also think that there was an angle to your question that said, how do we understand that although these people have received prasadam and they're still attacking us? Is that right?
Basically, what I wanted to ask is that fundamentally we may understand that we are also part and parcel of Krishna.
Yeah.
And we are all one family, as you mentioned, Vasudhaya or Kutumbakam. The kind of teachings that sometimes people receive. Although they may be good at heart and they may have all the same intentions, the kind of indoctrination that they get turns them into kind of a herd which is paying off the other body.
Yes.
So, keeping that in mind and although having good intentions for them, seeing them as they're also Krishna's part. I'm speaking in my personal capacity, but sometimes I get disturbed by the philosophy that they follow.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. I understand what you mean. But again, it's difficult. Like, if I go to my brothers and sisters in the Islamic tradition, and I'm asked to have a partake in some festival, and you see them eating their meat and stuff, and it's difficult. but you still have to give them love, because Krishna still resides within the heart of that individual. So from a devotee point of view, you don't see the outer shell of that person anymore. You say, Krishna's in that person's heart. Let me talk to Krishna there, you know? And so, and the thing that will win them over is your humility, that you don't necessarily criticize them. You're not in a position to criticize, you just take it, and then how much love you exude. Friendliness, friendship, building friendship, you know? I've mentioned that many times in class, you know, that the greatest thing that a devotee can do is develop friendships with people on the outside. Because when you've developed a friendship and they feel there's a genuine love coming from you and a genuine friendship, you're not asking for anything, it's just that, then they'll want to find out, how is it possible that you can do that? If there's any sort of piety in them, if there's any sort of punya, they'll want to find out, how is it possible that that person can still love me? How is it that he's so friendly? How she or he or she is so friendly? And then that will make them inquire about your life, about Krishna consciousness. And they may not take it up in this lifetime. And you have to be happy with that. You have to be satisfied with that. Like, I have a lot of Islamic friends and Christian friends, and they appreciate me, and they're my friendship. But my friendship to them will help them in the next lifetime. Because they have a sentiment towards me. And it's not me, it's the whole Krishna consciousness that they appreciate. And so that appreciation will set them fast. And that's the whole thing of punya again, of pious activities. Yeah. So just be really... I know it's difficult sometimes. We had one lady, we had a program at our house one time. And who was there? Sagar Maharaj. Yeah. And the whole class was about vegetarianism and everything, and this Islamic lady came along and she said, yeah, but I like eating meat and I eat this kind of meat and I eat that kind of meat, and she just went on and on about meat. And we said, yep, thank you very much, that was really good, I'm glad you put, now have a plate of prasadam. And she loved the prasadam, you know. So this is our job, somehow or other we have to present the beauty of Krishna in any way we can to those people that we come in contact with. So it's either the actual Krishna's personality of Krishna, the deity of Krishna, the books, prasadam, and you yourself. You also have to be beautiful. You have to radiate that effulgence. And you do that by following the process.
Just a quick comment also. We have to understand also that people are born in this world in different positions because of their verbal consciousness that they had before they took birth. Right? So not everybody is at the same level. And then the other thing is becoming pure, whether you're a Christian or Hindu, Muslim or Hare Krishna, becoming pure is a matter of surrendering to the Supreme. And we're all at different levels where we either wish to surrender or we actually have a fear of surrendering, because what the surrender does is it takes away more enjoyment. Yeah? So when you're presenting somebody with Krishna consciousness and they become antagonistic to that, what is showing, what that is within them is the fear to surrender. That's all that is.
And they want to be the enjoyers. Yes, Matsya. That's right.
And the second thing is, if Krishna wants to use it as an instrument, he will benefit. Otherwise, it's not very helpful. So if Krishna is not willing, even the Christian list have a lot of mind, you will die with him. So he can try it if Krishna doesn't want to use it.
Very good comment. Very good comment. Thank you. Any more questions? I think we better go and take some of the beauty of prasadam. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada ki. Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir ki. Jai Hare Krishna.